Hey, before we get started, I did want to say thanks to our friends at Arias Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy, for supporting the show for so long. Here's the thing. They're easy to talk about because at the root of everything, Arias, they want to find physical therapists and physical therapist assistants jobs. That's it. Doing what they want, which is being great therapists, where they want to do it, in all 50 states and D.C., in all settings. So, take a look at what they have to offer right now. AURUSmedical.com. Just take a peek and ask. It's no obligation, all right? You're not locked in or anything. So don't think like that. AURUSmedical.com. We trust them. You should too with your career. Take a look at where it can take you. AURUSmedical.com. Go there. AURUSmedical.com.
I absolutely love
you. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome to Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I think it's 5 o'clock one time zone that way. Yeah. 6 o'clock here, but we wanted to come live again and bring another virtual Happy Hour here on the show. So cheers. Welcome to the podcast. This is PT Pinecast, a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas and motivational stories in the world of physical therapy. I'm Jimmy McKay, your host. Want to say thank you to our sponsors, Owens Recovery Science. You can find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com for bringing you the first round, well, certification and the information you need to get personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training in your clinical practice done properly. That's what you want. You want it done properly. So check them out online at owensrecoveryscience.com. If you're looking to bring that into your clinical practice, take a deep dive. Johnny Owens, Kyle Kimbrell, and that team record their own podcast on iTunes now. It's called the, ironically, very creative, the Owens Recovery Science Podcast. I don't know where they come up with that name. But find them out there. The certification and the equipment, opening up some classes around the country right now. Some pretty cool locations like San Diego, which I think is Spanish for old wooden ship. Someone might want to fact check me on that one. Also do Falls Church, New Orleans, a bunch of different locations around the country. So if you're thinking about it, it's used in the four major sports, college athletics around the world. So check it out. BFR. Might as well go with the Cadillac, the leaders, owensrecoveryscience.com. And now, where's the hype music? There we go. It's the hype music. Here we go. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and now we're video casting as well at PT Pinecast on the socials. Drop your questions or comments or where you're listening at below. Want to know where you are. Our guest today, BS in biology from Stillman College, and his DPT from the U. Currently practices in Miami, Florida at the Bruce Carter Miami VA Medical Center as an orthopedic outpatient physical therapist, where he's able to serve our country's veterans. Love that. Also a strong advocate for diversity, equity, inclusion in the PT profession. And he shared his personal experiences in a blog post we're going to get into called Code Switching that was published in PT in Motion magazine from the APTA. As well as an exchange essay chat, which was fantastic. But let's bring back to the show, because this is his second time on here, Dr. Michael Cromartie, back to the show. Here we go. And there he is. And we got the clapping.
Hey, everybody.
2 years ago, we literally went back and forth online. And I was like, wait, was that how long ago? That was 2018. That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago in Miami.
Right.
Oh, no, that was Orlando, right? That was a cool experience, man. And you were what? Were you a second or third year then?
I was a second year. So coming up on my third year.
Yeah. I love that. So the experience was, this was completely, I love when random things happen and they're great. This was a contest that we did. Our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. They kind of came to us like, let's do something different. Let's make some noise at conferences. Cause if you've been to conferences, and I know many of us have, there's a lot of noise going on, right? And you want to cut through the noise. So we said, let's cut through the noise before the conference. What is a barrier to students to coming to a national conference? And a lot of times it's cost. I mean, just you know, just surviving in PT school, just getting to class and, you know, getting everything turned in is hard enough. So Arias was nice enough to put up $1,000 and, you know, say, hey, listen, here's some money for travel expenses. Cause you got to eat, you got to stay somewhere. You got to get there. APTA, do you want to give them a nod? They said, well, we'll give free admission to a student. And I actually said, it's super weird to ask one student to go, and not actually have, like, you know, someone to go with them. So you were actually able to bring a classmate, right? Who went with you?
So I brought my classmate, Mark Karam. And I mean, that was a no-brainer for me. When you said I could bring someone else, it was instantly like texting him like, hey, we're going to next.
That's awesome. I love that. So let's start with this. Number one, I saw you had said something in a blog post, and I literally hadn't read it. You wrote this, I guess, right after the Next and the contest experience and what you got to do there. We brought you into Next, and we said, you're going to have your own episode. You're going to host your own episode. You can pick anybody you want. Do you remember who you picked? Remember who you interviewed?
Yes. So Cicely and Joe. So they were both big in sports. And so, you know, I was like, well, and I saw their, you know, what they were speaking on. And I was like, you know what, this is definitely a group of people that I want to kind of talk to and pick their brain.
Yeah. So we'll put the link to the episode that you actually got to host. Cecily DiStefano, no stranger to the show, and Joe Black, no stranger to the show, just because he doesn't go away. Loved Joe. But you got that experience. So how was the experience going to Next, knowing that barrier was gone? That was our goal. Remove a barrier and then see what happens. So how was it?
It was good. It was, you know, I was able to enjoy it a lot more, not having to, you know, worry about the financial burden of it. And then just kind of like, you know, I guess was feeling myself, you know, knowing that I was going to be helping host the show. So, you know, I kind of was like, yeah, you know, walking around like I'm big stuff, wearing suits and everything to all the meetings and stuff.
How was the conference? What did you expect? I mean, I know it's 2 years ago, but what did you expect it to be like? And then did reality match that?
So that was my first Next. And you know, from other classmates and professors, they told us it would be kind of smaller than CSM, but it's still kind of the same essence. But you know, it was still a good time. You know, it was June in Orlando, so it was hot for sure. Right. But you know, just having everything right there. You had Disney when you had some downtime to go to. So I know me and some of my classmates, we actually went and went to Epcot and did Drinking Around the World. So that was pretty cool. Right, exactly. Cheers. So
the first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking?
So I actually have some Hennessy, as you can see back here, with a little bit of Coca-Cola.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hennessy, Michael is trying to get a sponsorship with Hennessy. I like the product placement, my friend, is very on point. I don't like when I have one beer of a kind left in the fridge. I got to get rid of it. So this is the Bloodline from Flying Dog, the Blood Orange Ale. So let's do a virtual cheers here into the camera, into the microphone. There we go. And cheers to you, my friend, having you back on the show. Since Next, I'm glad we removed the barrier. I'm glad you got to experience it. I wish we could do that more, and maybe we should start looking at how to do that more. I like that the APTA literally just did a 90-degree pivot. We got COVID. We can't have a conference. It's a virtual conference, and they literally just said we're going to change the delivery method of our information, and people were raving about it. What happened after that? Because you. I mean, spoiler alert, I see a doctor in front of your name and PT after, so you graduated, right?
Right. So, yeah, I graduated, but in between that and graduating, I actually started a blog post. And so, basically, I was kind of inspired by a physical therapist, Greg Todd, who came and spoke to us. And he was just kind of like telling us, you know, kind of find a way to put your name out there. And, you know, I didn't know exactly how I could put my name out there, but I just started the blog, and you know, I would share like on my social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And I actually, one of my blog posts spoke to my experience with Next and just kind of how, or with you all in the scholarship, and how like there was such a level of uncertainty that probably could have just changed everything from that point on had I not, you know, answered the phone call. When you guys called me, I was in the middle of a workout. and was unsure of the number. And I usually either ignore them or block those numbers. But something told me to just pick up and, you know, see who it was. And, you know, it was you on the other line. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, it was just so random to me that I was like, what? Is this serious? Like, you know, I'm like, am I being joked right now? You know, I'm looking around the gym, seeing if it's my classmates, trying to see if I'm reacting crazy. So
we pulled your name out. And of course, the radio guy in me was like, yo, I know the winner. Email them. I don't get any audio out of that, man. Or like, right. Hey, call me later. But you've already had that moment of like, oh, whoa, like whatever comes out. So here I am calling and I'm like, hey, is this Michael? And we're like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing right now? You're like, working out at the gym. And I'm like, do you want to go to the next conference? And you're like, sure. And I'm like, you're the contest winner. And you're like, oh, for real? And I'm like, yes. And that was a great real moment, because I'm glad you picked up. And that was the great blog post that you wrote, which was essentially what was the lesson you wanted to teach people about that?
Just, I mean, it was, you know, that was a small example, but like just to take risk, you know, for me, I was thinking it was like a debt collector, you know, somebody trying to, you know, collect some kind of money from me. So I really didn't want to pick up, but I was like, you know what? At least, you know, find out, and then I can block the number if it's not who, you know, somebody I want to hear from. So, you know, but from that point on, it's just kind of been my mentality is like, take a risk, even if I'm not sure, you know, just kind of, you know, take a chance, especially if there's something positive that could be on the other side of it. So, you know, trying to say yes to every opportunity.
I like that. I like that a lot. So after you write that article about your experience, you wind up graduating. So congratulations, graduating from the year. Yes, you started working out of school where you are now?
Mm-hmm. So I actually started first in Atlanta, and then came back to Miami where I'm now working at the VA. But I actually, in between that, I actually gave a couple lectures to University of Miami's DPT students about diversity, equity, and inclusion based off of an article that I wrote called Code Switching, which kind of shared my experience in PT school and kind of being the only African-American male in my class. And so that was, you know, pretty cool to be able to do that. And it's kind of that in itself has opened a lot of doors for me, for sure. And wasn't expecting that at all. When I initially wrote the blog, I was met with a lot of resistance from like family members. It was definitely like, just like be careful, because they were concerned of what kind of feedback I would be given. I had my fiance though, or my girlfriend at the time, who was like, you know, oh no, you should do it. You know, I think it's a really, you know, it's a really good message and it may help someone else out. So when I pressed submit, it was kind of like a, you know, one of those when I pressed submit. But, you know, I was definitely shocked. I won't say shocked, but appreciative of the feedback that I finally got. I think I posted in September or October of 2018 or 2019. And 2018, I'm sorry. And then it kind of took off in January. It was on Twitter that I saw that people had saw it, you know, and it was from there, it just like was more and more people kind of like, oh my gosh, I love your, you know, I love your blog. And yeah, from that, it just opened so many doors for me.
I don't want to skip past something. Some people told you not to do that, and probably because they were concerned about you. Mm-hmm. Right? It was your family. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't a better reason for you to write it, that's a great example of why you needed to write it. I understand why they were telling you like, hey, be careful. Like, you don't, you know, how it's blow back on you for speaking up. Mm-hmm. But if there isn't a better reason to write something like that, that's a great shining example of like, it needs to be said.
Right. Right. And yeah, they, you know, they were worried about like, you know, like possibly, you know, as far as future employment, I hadn't secured any job. So they were like, you know, what if someone thinks that you're trying to stir stuff up? And, you know, I was like, no, I don't, you know, I don't think it'd be, especially with my tone, I didn't think it would be perceived that way. So that's kind of when I was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and submit this or post it.
The fact that you needed to think about your tone. Mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah, exactly. So like, I definitely, and I think if like I were to post this today, they wouldn't think twice about it. You know, they would be like, no, you need to go put this out there, you know. But I guess because, you know, it wasn't so like talked about just 2 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of still like some, hey, this could be met with resistance. Just be careful. You know, of course, we support you, but we just want you to know if you have some, you know, negative feedback, then, you know, just that you're prepared.
They knew the temperature. They knew what could happen, right? They knew which way the wind was blowing.
Exactly.
So good for you for hearing that from people you trusted who knew, probably had your best interest at heart, which is like, be careful. Mm-hmm. And you still did it because there was a message that you thought needed, that deserved to be shared, and you shared it. Mm-hmm. I've never had to think twice about producing a podcast episode. I've done more than 700 of these. I've never had to think twice about my tone, about backlash, about what it could possibly do to my career. I've never had to do that. I'm 40 years old and white. I've never had to think about that. That bothers me that you did.
Right. Yeah.
I'm mad for you.
Yeah. It was, you know, for sure. And it was frustrating because, you know, I wanted to put it out so bad. And, you know, honestly, with my intent, I was literally just sharing my experience. And it wasn't until other minority students reached out and were like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I feel the exact same way. I'm going through the exact same thing. You know, this is like inspiring for me moving forward. And that's when I realized kind of like the power that it had behind it. But initially, it was just kind of really just sharing my experience, being vulnerable with people, and, you know, seeing how many others could relate was kind of like, you know, refreshing for sure, in a sense that, you know, it inspired others. Not refreshing that multiple people are going through what I'm going through.
Sure. No, yeah. But something resonates when the audience is listening or reading or watching and they have thought that or felt that, or you're putting words to their emotions. Mm-hmm. That's when something goes viral or explodes or whatever you want to call it, is when you put words to someone's emotions, especially when they were afraid. Maybe they were afraid to say them for repercussions, or they don't want to look a certain way. They're honestly afraid to say it. Like, good for you for doing it. That's not an easy thing to do. I can't imagine if that would even be an easy thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
So, but let's talk about what code switching was, because I had never heard of the term until I heard it from you, and I want to make sure the audience understands it clearly.
Okay. So basically, code switching is kind of a person changing their mannerisms, or, you know, the way that they talk, based on whatever environment that they're in, that they perceived as the normal way of acting or talking. So, like, for example, I went to a historically Black college and university in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I think it was 97% African American. You know, I talked on campus way different than what I did when I showed up to University of Miami on the first day. You know, one, I'm from the South, so like I have kind of a Southern drawl, talk a little slower. I know I don't pronounce every letter in each word. So that in itself, I'm kind of like, all right, let me make sure I enunciate myself so that people can understand what I'm saying. But also just kind of, you know, I know with unconscious bias, people can, you know, perceive certain things about you just based off of one, when they see you, and two, you know, when they hear you speak. So I didn't want, you know, people to assume that maybe I was uneducated or anything like that because I was talking slower than others. So, you know, I try to make sure that, you know, I present myself in a way, you know, then with the whole code switching, you know, where it made them kind of feel comfortable, where I sounded like them. You know, it's a lot different now where I kind of am more secure in the space that I'm in. So I don't feel the need to code switch as much. But, you know, I still have those moments, you know, where I feel like, because it's almost essentially a survival skill.
It's a personality camouflage.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, everybody does it in a sense, like no one goes and talks to their professor the same way they do
classmates. I don't talk to my grandmother like how I talk to my best friend.
Right.
And I talked about this on a previous episode. Once I heard about what code switching was, and I was like, well, I do that a little bit, but I do it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Really, I think it's like it's what you're doing, but it's why you feel like you have to do it. That's really That's the bigger issue.
Right, right. Yeah, and so for sure, I agree. You know, it's like everyone does it, but it's like, why are people doing it? And I think that's what the difference is between, you know, why people are, you know, doing it out of respect and then some out of just the pure, you know, essence of wanting to be accepted. Because right. We're all humans, even the antisocial crowd still want to be accepted by the other antisocial crowd. So, you know, we all want to be accepted in some form or fashion. And I think, you know, it's almost in a sense you go through life so long and you realize what's acceptable to those around you and what isn't. So you kind of just try your best to do what you can to be accepted.
I like that. When you actually did this and you were like, submit, and after a day later, a week later, how did you feel? And then how did you feel once it really started to gain traction and people were really passing this around? Because a lot of people don't know. When you hit submit, somebody might not go viral or might really not resonate with people until it hits this certain level of people reading it and talking about it and saying, yeah, this resonates with me. When you read this, he's putting words to my thoughts. How'd that feel?
Yeah. So initially, when I wrote it, it was just kind of like my immediate followers on Instagram and my classmates who saw it. And, you know, I had several reach out to me and was like, oh, you know, I hope that I never made you feel like you needed to be anyone besides yourself, things like that. Some of it I definitely appreciated, but then some of it I was like, oh, see, this is kind of what I wanted to avoid, is people like feeling sorry for me. Because you know, I didn't want anyone feeling sorry for me. No, I do what I do just because, you know, it's the way I kind of grew up. But then once it really blew up and kind of caught wind on Twitter and with the APTA, the Pulse, I was kind of feeling myself, like, you know, because of just something my name was attached to kind of has been circulating.
Sure. So, hell yeah.
Right. So, you know, I was like, man, this is awesome. I'm messing with my girlfriend. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I can't talk right now. I've got a couple other things to tend to, you know, just messing with her.
Right.
But then once I actually, you know, was reading the comments of what people were saying about the blog, that's kind of what was like the most humbling to me. Just to see how many other people resonated with it and could, you know, relate and kind of, you know, were grateful that I spoke up and said something. And I didn't realize that I was one of the first people to kind of put something out there about it. So
put words to emotion. And do any come to mind? Because I didn't prepare you to say, hey, bring me some comments. But if some come to mind, it probably means they really resonated. Is any come or at least emotions behind those?
Yeah, so actually I had one guy who I actually considered a mentor who reached out to me, or I still consider him a mentor. He was actually the first African-American male PT I saw ever, and I saw him finally, I think, in my the end of my first year for PT school. He came and spoke to us, and I got his contact information, and we kind of stayed in touch. And he reached out, and he said, man, I just want you to know, like, you know, what you've done is so inspiring. It's really kind of, you know, made me want to kind of move differently. And wow. And for me, I like had to screenshot the comment, like, this is going in the archives, because it just was like, man, this guy that I look up to so much is telling me that I inspired him just by kind of using my voice. So that's just, you know, the first one that I can think of offhand.
Wow, look at that. Like, this was someone you looked up to as a mentor. Pretty impactful, right? Like, if I were walking into a profession and I hadn't seen a physical therapist, I hadn't seen someone who looked like me until the end of my first year, and you did that, and of course you look at that person with a little bit of reverence. Mm-hmm. That person turned to you because you were brave enough to share something that really resonated. Mm-hmm. That's got to feel great.
Right, exactly. And so, and then it just, you know, I mean, while that was at the top of the pile, you know, there were still other ones from just strangers. Like, and then it almost got to the point where I was seeing, like, where the comment came from. Like, if I saw, like, California, I'm like, man, it made it all the way to California. Yeah, you know, so they definitely were, you know, it felt good. And I was, like, reassured, like, this was the right move for sure.
Good. I'm glad you were. Was there any negativity?
No.
Good.
I think if anyone had anything negative to say, they just didn't say anything at all.
All right.
So, right. So, and I don't think many, you know, would have said anything negative, hopefully. So
I like it. Good on you. We'll make sure we drop the link to code switching in that article. Oh, it's already in there. It's already in the comments below if you're watching this live or on the replay on Facebook. So you know, I don't want to go around the block. It's my term. I don't want to go around the block 20 times by saying, but like, I'm really proud of you. Like, I don't know if I would have had the courage. I honestly don't. I've never had to have the courage to really question what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. And you did have to question that. You did question it. And the answer was still, I want to share this, mm-hmm. which I thought was great. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being brave. So let's talk about some different things. How to navigate the PT world as a new grad. Well, new grad right now as well. Everybody's learning which way north is now because we're navigating from a different star that keeps moving. You get to speak on this a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if there's any new grads watching, kind of my biggest advice is accept every opportunity that's given to you. So many people have approached me with things that, you know, asking if I want to be a part of this or if I want to work towards this or do that. And I mean, honestly, I don't know if I'm spreading myself thin, but I just don't know how to say no. And I know kind of it's like, you know, use my youth to work hard right now, you know, right. Get involved as much as possible and, you know, kind of get involved so that I can have a voice once again and also just kind of see the behind the scenes for PT. And so, like, for example, I now serve on the American Academy Sports Physical Therapy Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. And when I was approached with it, I was like, I don't know what this entails. Like, I don't know what I'm signing myself up for. But I was like, they came to me, you know, why would I reject? You know, and that in itself kind of, you know, helped me get involved. And then, you know, I've had professors or students reach out to me asking if I could come speak to their class or, you know, now that Zoom is a big thing, I've joined several Zoom calls. And so, you know, it's like, for me, it's like, never say no. If I don't, you know, if you give me time, if I don't know what's going on, I'll figure out by the time I have to deliver. So, you know, that's just been my biggest thing is try to, you know, get your name out there and get involved as much as possible.
Why do you keep saying yes to something like that? As someone who says yes and has gotten to a point where I have to say yes less, mm-hmm. because eventually there will be burnout and you need to do self-care for, you know, you have to monitor that. Mm-hmm. But if you're not questioning it yet, don't keep mm-hmm. going, put, you know, keep the foot on the gas pedal. Why do you think they're asking you?
You know, I don't know. I'm glad they are. I think it really has a lot to do with kind of, the blog code switching, but then me kind of, you know, keeping my foot on the gas. And like, it wasn't just that. I kind of was sharing how I went to speak to University of Miami and how, you know, went on to do the student exchange chat. Like, I think they're asking me because they see that this is something that I'm passionate about. I mean,
that's the answer.
Right.
Everybody can write a blog post, right? Mm-hmm. It took bravery to write that blog post. And then what'd you do? You kept your foot on the gas. You didn't slow down. That's why. Make sure you know that. That's a that, you know, don't have I can't say don't have imposter syndrome because I have it. You're gonna have it your whole life, but make sure you know they asked you for a reason. It's not an accident. Like, mm-hmm. you stood up when others didn't, and you did something, and good on you. You should be commended for that. So what do you get to talk about when you get asked to zoom in or you know, talk about, you know, navigating the world as a new grad PT? What are your points? What are the things you want to hit and make sure those students walk away knowing, okay, this is my mindset I need to have right now.
Right. So, mainly I try to touch on kind of, implicit or unconscious bias and kind of how it affects, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I try to let people know it's not wrong to have implicit biases. Like, it's normal. It's literally conditioned into our brain and the way we interact with others. You know, however, it is, you know, I would say wrong when you act on those or your behavior dictates your unconscious bias. So I try to let people know it's extremely important to identify what your unconscious bias are. And, you know, I think when you do that, it allows you to consciously make an effort to avoid your actions, you know, being dictated by a bias that you have towards or against another group.
Yeah, it's important, right? So you got confirmation bias, which is like, I'm just going to seek out things that confirm what I already believe.
Right.
Which isn't really seeking anything out. That's literally that's spinning in circles. And then you have like even worse. And I learned that the only reason I'm able to use these terms is my buddy's a psychologist. And I'm like, what's the word for the thing where people just don't want to listen? And he's like, that's cognitive dissonance. Like, I've given you a logical explanation of why A is doing B. and you're just, nah, I reject that because it doesn't fit my narrative.
Right.
So, you know, rejecting the fact that I have a bias, I can't say that. Of course, we all have it. You're saying it's normal. Okay. But not paying attention to it and then saying, well, how can I actually consciously now think about what my bias is doing wants me to do? It's pulling me this way. But let me think about why I'm doing that. Let me not just be pulled by this unconscious thing that I need to respect exists, but I should consciously say I need to question this of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Is that exactly. How do you see that? What is the reaction when you're talking about this? Because I'm guessing, and this is what I do as an interviewer, and when you're speaking to students in an audience, my guess is you're reading the audience, right? And they're giving away a lot of information, right? If this was poker, they're tipping cards.
Right.
What are the things that you see either, you know, in the moment consciously, or what are they saying? What's the reaction to when people hear you speak?
So a lot of them, I've noticed, are in denial about having bias, you know, because everyone wants to do the whole I don't see color thing. It's like, well, right. You have eyes, we all see it. And it's not just, you know, color, it's everything. But so, you know, I kind of will let them know, like, hey, I have my biases. And I actually, Harvard has a test, an implicit bias test. And I, like, will show my results to what groups I'm biased towards and, you know, biased against. Well, I won't say biased against, but biased towards. And, you know, I tell them, like, hey, it's normal. It happens. And, like, you'll see the couple that are either asleep, rolling their eyes, you know, but it's a lot of people who are engaged and who want to figure out, one, how do they identify their biases? And, you know, one of the examples I tell people is if you're sending out an email to a group of people, you know, pay attention to the order that you decided to mention people. That will tell you a lot of times, you know, you don't even realize that the person you're most comfortable with, or, you know, the person that comes to mind first is who you're most comfortable with. And so, you know, you'll notice that, or, you know, for example, when you go out with your classmates, what group do you notice yourself constantly going out with? You know, of course, your whole class isn't going out, all 60 of you all, but if you notice the same 5 to 10 are always going out or, you know, studying together, then who are you, you know, that kind of gives you an insight about who you feel comfortable around, which, you know, essentially is where our bias comes from.
You literally take the ammo out of their gun, right? If anybody's going to, by saying, here's my implicit bias, here it is, it's on display, take right. it, whatever that's worth to you. Because you're saying it's there. Implicit bias is neither good nor bad. It is what you do after that, after you are exposed to, you're biased. We all, but not just you. This is not, I'm not indicting someone. Everyone is.
Right.
What do you do about it? Right. And I, when I was asking that question, I was like, I know he's going to, you were picking up on unconscious body movements of like, okay, here we go again. I'm rejecting instead of, all right, let me listen to this and let me be accepting. Like you probably know your batting average in terms of talking. Like what percentage in terms of the audience you like, okay, there's a bell curve, right? Everything's a bell curve. We learned that in school. You know, you've got the people that you don't need to talk to. They're in the choir. They're singing the same song. You got people that are never ever going to agree with you, and let's not waste our time on them. And then you're aiming at that middle, and right. you're reading body language, and you're looking at eye contact, and who's listening, and who's watching the slides, and who's listening to you. Does that motivate you?
Most definitely. And I have I think I have a good sense of humor. So I like to do things that will tie in, you know, where people will find it funny. So like I'll take video clips from like The Office, which, you know, there's the famous scene of when they have diversity day. And it's, I think maybe season 1, episode 1 of The Office. And that's kind of like how I will open up my lecture, you know, just to kind of hopefully kind of take the tension off of the classroom, because it's a very uncomfortable, or it can be a very uncomfortable topic to talk about. But, you know, I'm not there to judge anybody, because especially if you come to listen and learn, then, you know, that's step one to me. You know, if you come in wanting to argue or disagree or not listen, then, you know, then that's, you know, I think something, you know, that you have to deal with, you know, when you look in the mirror. But, you know, I try to make sure that I take as much tension off as possible. I'll, yeah. you know, I'll, throw a couple jokes out, kind of, you know, like I said, mention my own implicit bias to hopefully see that, hey, while I'm talking to you all about it, I'm not perfect either. And, you know, we're going to make mistakes. We're human.
You're not there to tell them anything. You're there to expose them to information. And then it is there is on them to take that information and do what they will. And some will roll their eyes. And those people are on the left side of that bell curve. They were never going to pay attention anyway. You're aiming at that middle. That's a pro move, man. By the way, that's a pro communication move, which is, how do I speak? How do I literally just be like, here's the elephant in the room. This is uncomfortable. And you literally just like, how do we make things that are uncomfortable comfortable? We make a joke about it. As long as there is an underlying opportunity for us to take this uncomfortable moment and have a conversation about it. If you're doing there, you're on the 5-yard line, man. I mean, you're close. That's a pro communication move in my view, personally.
Thank you.
Answering that phone call with something, right? You never grow if you're always doing the things you already know how to do. You saw a phone number when I was calling you randomly, like noon on a Tuesday or whatever, to tell you about that scholarship. But this is something that resonates with you. Talk to me about, what do you mean? Like when you talk about this term, you never grow if you're always doing the things you already know how to do. That sounds pretty straightforward, of course, but we reject that sometimes because we wind up doing the things we're always doing.
Right. So for me, I like to tell people, you know, or I just think that people hate doing things they suck at. You know, it's like, because now, it's giving them subconscious about things, you know, or they're becoming self-conscious about things. And, you know, they're like, oh, well, I'm a terrible public speaker. So they're going to go through basically the rest of their lives, you know, being a terrible public speaker because they always shy away from the opportunity. So, you know, I kind of, you know, noticed I'm trying my best to always be aware of like, wow, that was terrible. I really sucked at that, or, you know, and try to go back or do, you know, put myself in more positions to improve. My little brother, he's growing up playing basketball, and I can related to sports. He's left-handed and loves to go left-handed. So the moment that I make him go right or use his right hand, he's like, all right, I quit. Game is over. Right. I'm like, well, at this rate, you're never going to get good with your right hand.
Game.
Exactly. And so, you know, I just feel like, you know, as a person, you want to keep growing in life. You never want to be at the same place, you know, for more than a month. And so the best way to do that is to take on new challenges and new tasks. And, you know, that's something that I kind of pride myself in, is when I've, you know, done one thing or reached one goal, it's like, all right, let me set up for the next goal. What can I improve at or become better at?
That's a good outlook. It sounds like there's a lot of self-reflection going on, which is something that I personally rejected in PT school. Not so much self-reflection, but like writing it down. For some reason, me writing it down was required, right? And I hated it. And I probably, to your other point, right? That was me going right. I didn't want to go right. I wanted to go left. I didn't want to sit down and write something down. It made me feel weird because I didn't feel like I was ever being eloquent if I was actually typing or writing. But if I had a conversation, I'd talk for an hour. If I had a conversation with beer, I'd talk for 2 hours. But it sounds like you grabbed onto the value and benefit of self-reflection pretty early.
Yeah. Well, it definitely came from PT school. Like when they were prepping us for clinicals, they said the only way you can become a better therapist is if you reflect on what you're good at and what you're bad at.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard definitely to jump in on things you're bad at in a group of, you know, in a group of people. So like, for example, maybe your manual therapy skills in school aren't the best. Don't say, like, raise your hand to go mess up in front of, you know, your class, but at least making that, you know, effort to, okay, class is over. This is what I need to put the work in on. So, you know, I definitely was like, well, let me apply this to everything in my life. Like, you know, this can take me far if I kind of, you know, try to find what I'm not good at and become at least good enough to be able to deliver or be able to participate in. It also comes from being a perfectionist. Like, I want to be perfect at everything that I do. Yeah. So that kind of is definitely what drives me a little bit as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was today years old when I recognized that I don't feel good feeling bad about what I'm doing. Right. But to get better, that's the only way. And right. the only way really to figure out how far you've progressed or what you need to do to progress. Self-reflection right there. We got some people from the U jumping in there. Rich Severin coming in saying, giving you a go Canes. I like that very much.
Rich.
Good to see you, Rich. So on top of just self-reflection, there is also, what are you going to do with it? Right. And this goes into probably the root of most PT school essays, which is, why do you want to be here? You know, you want to be in PT school. No one wants to be in PT school. You want to go through PT school to do something. So giving back is something that is coming up a lot when you get to talk with students and anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I met my RA in college. He told me, lift as we climb. That was basically, as we are trying to reach our goals, you know, reach back and help others achieve theirs. And that's kind of something that stuck with me. He kind of, you know, told me what classes I need to take, you know, what, you know, organizations to try to be familiar with or join. And so kind of now for me, it's, you know, I've become the mentor to a lot of people who reach out to me via social media, which is, I mean, I think it's an excellent idea. Every time I think about taking a fast from social media, you know, I'm like, man, the people need me. You know, it's like, I have, you know, students reach out, especially pre-PT students who, you know, who I've either known before or just who randomly have reached out and asked kind of like, hey, you know, what is PT school like? What are the, you know, things to get in? You know, what do I need to know to get into PT school and things of that nature? And there were actually several pre-PT students who had read the blog, and I was like, man, you guys are dedicated, because I looked at the APTA website for, like, you know, when it was time for the PT cast, but like, they just kind of, you know, randomly browse it. Yeah. So I'm, you know, it's good to see the next generation of PTs are, you know, so hungry for information. And, you know, I just try to do my part to make sure that, you know, I have as many, you know, people under me just so that I can help. You know, I don't look for anything in return, really, just to, more than to say, hey, you know, I was able to help you and glad to see you kind of achieve your goals.
Lift as we climb. Man, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I think that PT students, I got no data to support this. I'm just winging this one. I think they've always been just as hungry, right? But if there's nobody writing that code switching blog, if there's no one doing that exchange essay chat, they're not finding the information they're actually hungry for. And if they don't find the thing they're hungry for, they go somewhere else. And that's where we probably lose a lot of people in terms of, well, if Michael, who's pretty proactive in terms of self-reflection, what do I want to do with this profession? And the first time you see someone who looks like you is at the end of your first year, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. How many people did we lose before that looked around and said, this isn't for me, because I know it's not for me. I'm looking around. There's no one like me. So I think everything's full circle on the show, not even on purpose, by accident, but you putting that out there, that thing's going to exist, right? Someone's going to trip across that because of tweets or retweets or, you know, search engine optimization or something. They're going to find that and they're going to go, okay. And they're going to go a little longer, and maybe they lift as they climb too. And they're going to bring one more person with them. So, I mean, I think the fact that you were brave enough to say those things, even when people around you who were probably had your best interest in there said, maybe be careful about that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Good on you for doing it. And then how about seizing the moment? It seems like your whole life is about seizing the moment, man. Like your whole, like, I don't know, your whole vibe is like, let's just do it. Let's do it.
Right. Probably a good and a bad thing. I kind of act on impulse a lot. But I mean, you know, I try to make sure it's always in a positive way. And just kind of how I said earlier, you know, accepting every opportunity. Right now, I kind of feel like it is the moment, you know, where people are listening. So that's why I'm like, well, I've got people's attention, or we've got people's attention. They want to hear. Take advantage of it, because, you know, if we get them now, it'll become, you know, the long game. It'll become a marathon, not a sprint. We'll be doing this for a very long time. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal, of course. We want to kind of keep people's attention and keep people wanting to learn. I think that's what's most important.
Yeah.
I feel like anyone who tunes in, it's, you know, 6:48 where I'm at. I'm sure people could find a million other things to be doing at 6:48.
Yep.
They've decided to tune in and listen. So to me, that means that they're interested. And, you know, like you said, they're that middle group, tilted to the left or tilted to the right, whichever direction.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but we had some students from Texas State on last week who did some research on literally on this very topic about the experiences of Black physical therapy students in Texas. They started their research 2 years ago. So they recognize this was an issue 2 years ago, right? Now it's the thing, right? I don't want this to be a news cycle thing that cycles in and cycles out. When Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, I was someone who was like, absolutely, like, that's disrespectful. I said it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't. I bought in. I had my cognitive dissonance on. I did. I had my bias. I was like, no way. Disrespectful. Not cool. I don't like it. I'm not even going to listen to what you're saying, man. I don't care why you're doing it. I don't like how you're doing it. That was wrong. I think now there's a bigger opportunity for people who are similar to me, who were wrong, who are now going, shit, I was wrong. And this is where you say marathon or sprint. You don't want to have 10 sprints.
Right.
Keep the gas pedal on now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because inertia is in physics, right? Just getting everything moving. There's a lot of stuff going on in the streets right now to get things moving. Don't stop it, because then you have to pay an even bigger price to get it moving again. Like, so it's, look at Sisyphus and the rock up the hill analogy, right?
Right.
The rocks, it's not any lighter than it was yesterday, but it's moving. So I don't know. I wish I could say, like, I know where this is going. I don't know where this is going, but I know how it's going to begin, right? And that's a line from The Matrix. I have no idea how it's going to end, but I know how it's going to begin. Hopefully, if this is the beginning.
Right.
You don't want this to end.
Right.
Because the end is better.
Right.
It's better. Let's go to better. I like better. I don't like now. I thought I did. I thought now was okay. It's not. Now that when you see it, now's not okay. Better's better. But again, good on you for having I can't wrap my head around it. I did the math like this weekend. I've done 22,000 hours of radio. And then I've done, I don't know how many, 5 years of podcasting, you know, 3 episodes a week, whatever. And I've never, ever had to think and stop and say, I don't know if I should publish this. Or I don't know if I should interview this guest. Or I need to check my tone. I've never thought about that. I started thinking about how I didn't have to think about that. And it pissed me off. Mm-hmm. That's a privilege. I've got it. Never had to think about it. You were going to write a blog article as a PT student. And you thought about it. That sucks. That's not okay. I'm not okay with that. Here's the line. This is not okay. And you not having to think about that, that's on this side. That is okay. I want to get you there because I'm there. So maybe I need to lift as I climb too, right? Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I just talk while I drink beer. Who the hell knows? What's in the future? You get to talk. You get to go around and you get to, I mean, shoot, man, you get to do a lot of things that you love. I mean, you can hear it in your voice. You get to go around and talk about things that you're passionate about to people that you hope become passionate about. What's in the future for you, man?
Future for me, right now I'm hoping that I can start going to different colleges and universities and start kind of just spreading awareness to physical therapy profession. To, you know, start, you know, combating kind of what the APTA is working towards with improving diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, you know, my goal is to kind of make sure that I can, once again, kind of be a mentor to people early on, because a lot of times, you know, I've noticed that people are reaching out their senior year. And, you know, of course, it's never too late, but, you know, as far as wanting to come in at the next admission cycle is probably a little unrealistic. So I figured, you know, if I can get in freshman year, they know exactly what classes to take, you know, what observation hours they need, you know, things to be watching for by the time their senior year comes, you know, they don't get their interest taken by becoming, you know, a chiropractor or an MD, you know, nothing against those professions, but that, you know,
won't lose interest if this is what you want because of something else.
Exactly.
Dude, get your list together. Let's do another episode because I know two things that college students are interested in: alcohol and things they're interested in. Those are the two things that college students are interested in. You get that together, they're going to listen to you. Why? Because they might have implicit bias. So maybe we need you to tell them and not me, the 40-year-old white dude. So put that list together. Get yourself another Hennessy. Let's jump on the show again. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
I like it. Anything I didn't ask about that you want to talk about at all?
Nothing that I can think of.
All right. Well, I usually say this after the microphones are off and after the show's done, but you have an open door policy.
Okay.
That when there is something you think that two other physical therapists need to hear, that you have an open door to come on the show to, well, it's just, I mean, I'm never averse to having a drink with someone. I don't, you know, and you know, especially when there's someone passionate, you have an open door. You just email, you say, I have something to say. Don't even tell me what it is. We'll turn the microphones and the cameras on and we'll say, Michael's got something to say, because you were brave enough to do it when there was no one behind you. Mm-hmm. That's why. So good for you. Are you ready to do your, no pressure now, but you ready to do your parting shot?
Let's do it.
Let's do the parting shot. All right, we got a cool graphic now. Last time you were on their show, we didn't have a cool graphic. Let's do the parting shot.
All right.
Look how we've upgraded, man. We've got like cool graffiti things and music in the background. Parting shot brought to you by our friends from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, orthopt.org. Do you ever think about doing your OCS?
Yes, I actually am. I am.
Oh, well, radio segue. Current concepts of orthopedic physical therapy. Listen, the reference list alone on who wrote the articles that they put in their course, it'll give you like a wrist issue just scrolling through it on your computer. They're the leaders. I don't know if I need to say it enough, but they're the Academy of Orthopedic PT. Check them out online at orthopt.org. We're gonna have some more contests to give away some more content from them in the coming months, so make sure you pay attention there. Parting shot, you've done it before, right? So chance for a mic drop moment. Like, what do you want to leave? We've talked about a lot. And thank you for coming on here and talking. Thanks for continuing to talk, whether it's to a class, to a profession via a blog or a video or exchange essay or a podcast. Please don't take your foot off the gas pedal. But now, no pressure again. But parting shot, what do you want to leave the audience with, Mike?
So I guess my parting shot would be, stay committed to your goals. Whatever it is, you know, that you think people need to hear, put it out there. I mean, I think I'm living proof that, you know, although there may be some negativity, you know, keeping you from pressing submit, or, you know, there may be some backlash that you're worried about receiving on the other end, if it's your truth, speak on it. I think it's important right now, while people are listening, that, you know, we kind of use our voice, because we don't know what our voice is giving to others. You know, it may give somebody else a voice. And I think, you know, when we have a million voices, the issue becomes, you know, we get action behind the mission. So, you know, I think it's important that we just kind of keep pushing forward. And once again, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. It was a great quote. I'm probably going to butcher it now because I don't have the screen up in front of me, but it's, you know, silence always benefits the oppressor. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're on the sidelines right now, you're benefiting the oppressor. So you're either in the game, you're in the game, or you're not. And if you're not, that's benefiting the oppressor. Thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate that. For being bold and for being brave. I mean, at such a young age, I wish I was that bold and that brave now, and you're half my age. We'll have you back on the show soon, man. Honestly, let me know. And I'd love to have another drink with you, man.
All right.
Michael Cromarty. Appreciate you stopping by, man. Thank you.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes, yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
PT Pinecast.
BuildPTPodcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our chief connections officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.